ago, he did not tell me that I'd have to follow that. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to go into our benediction. And to make matters worse, not only can she sing, Elena is on the starting lineup of our church basketball team, which has had the mercy rule invoked every game this season. So whatever game you play, do not challenge Elena. But we are delighted that you were here. Alex, it's good to have you and your family back from college. We've missed you. And we're excited to have all of us back in the sanctuary this morning as we return from Christmas and look to 2022 with anticipation, probably in more ways than one, as we close the book on this year and look to the next. And as we go into our weeks, I know it is a time where decorations have to be unpacked and all of the boxes that came out of the attic go back into the attic. And I am waiting until my children are old enough to do that for me. I'm just saying, Henry's 3. I think he can do the attic ladder. I don't know. But I hope that your family has enjoyed a great holiday of rest and fellowship and in whatever ways possible was able to be with one another in this unique time. And really, you know, it's not our first rodeo, but it makes it nonetheless easy. As we open the Bible this morning to our scripture of Luke 2 that we read just a moment ago, we find Mary and Joseph in a similar season of that post-holiday, just dragging their feet. They had come, and the magical moment that the angels foretold about so many months ago, that Christ the King, this is happening. Mary, you are with child, and he is to be called Emmanuel. And maybe it didn't quite go as she had planned. I'm sure that when the great angel of Gabriel left her in her room that evening, and her mind began to spin of what the life that had been chosen for her looked like, baby in a barn is not quite what she chalked up of, you have been found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And Christmas didn't quite go according to her plans. That riding a donkey out of town to see her in-laws was not the coming of the Messiah that she had crafted in her mind. Which, COVID or not, I'm sure all of us can relate to, of so often when family gets involved, Christmas does not go how we planned it. I know nothing about this because my family is perfect and my mother-in-law is the most amazing human being on the planet, and I adore every moment we have together in the holidays. But I've heard stories from people not in this room that sometimes it doesn't go perfectly. And I'm also hoping she is at church today and not watching this on YouTube. If you get a call from me about a place to for me to stay, there may be no room for me in the inn later. But the holidays bring out the best and the worst in us. And as we come in with great anticipation, we cannot say get out fast enough. Come on the 26th as the tree comes down. And Mary and Joseph had it worse than all of us, as having a baby means that there's a 40-day ritual process that Mary and Joseph couldn't go home. They had to go through the religious rites, rituals, and rhythms of their day and age. So they were stuck in Bethlehem in the barn for almost a month and a half, long after the wise men had come and gone. The newness of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh had worn off. We don't know what had become of those gifts, but we can guess that they probably had to be traded or bartered in a neighboring town where they needed to make ends meet and to pay the bills and to continue to be on this extended family road trip away from home. The shepherds had come and celebrated, but the star in the sky had set, and they had returned to their fields, and they were left with the gift wrapping paper of Christmas littering the floor, waiting to go back to the world that they had left. And we hear from the Gospel of Matthew that instead of returning home, an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and they can't. We know that Herod had issued a decree in fear of his own throne that all the baby boys of a certain age be killed, because he had heard of this king to come that had been born in Bethlehem. So Christmas had come and cast them out, and Mary and Joseph were stuck in a holiday limbo, just trying to figure out what December 26th looks like in their life. That there was not going to be a new year of back to normal to reset to the world that they knew before to go back to. And they are having to learn on the go as they navigate. Those of you who have children know this feeling well, of they're learning quickly that bringing a baby home from the hospital isn't an addition to the life that you once knew, but it's not only shaken up the snow globe, it's dropped off the mantle, broken and scattered, and Humpty Dumpty's not going back together again. And I don't know how Jesus slept as a child, but I imagine it's not as the pictures we see in the historical art of the church from the Renaissance. He may have had a glow, but having an infant at home, I don't think adding a donkey to the nursery made for silent nights. I'm not an expert, but it probably didn't go well. And we come to the milestone in their journey where it's time to bring Jesus to the temple, much like a child dedication that we would know today of their time. And you know that Mary and Joseph came in on two wheels. The donkey was probably out of gas. Joseph couldn't find the right tie. And Jesus was probably not on his best behavior as they present him to the rabbi that morning. And they just want to go home and hope for a good nap and get through the rest of the week. And we see in Scripture that's far from what happened. As Christ is presented to the priest at this time of dedication, which is normal for all young Jewish boys and girls, their ceremony is far from it. Simeon, a man of the Lord who had been blessed by the Holy Spirit, knew something was different the moment that he took Christ in his arms, and knew at that moment that the world would never be the same again. We are told that he had been promised that he would see the Messiah, the promised one, the one that the prophets of old had foretold and said would come to save Israel and the people of God from the crushing heel of an evil empire, that before God called him home, he may not see the end of the story, but he would know that Christ was coming. And in that moment, the story kicks off and he realized the gravity of what God was doing in his time. Because we know that Christ and the Holy Spirit had been silent for over 400 years. They had been waiting. And today, Christ had come and he burst forth with jubilee, like we sang two nights ago in this very room, that the Messiah had come and the angel brought good news of great joy, that God was on the move. And Mary was turning red to match Rudolph, that she just wanted to come and present their child. But instead, the entire temple took a hard right turn and things did not go as planned, and they called an audible because things could not be the same when Christ entered the picture. And it was a great time of celebration and joy of God's people realizing that the promise had been fulfilled, that this was not an empty story that our grandparents had told and we had been waiting for with empty hands for so long. That Santa is real, and he has come down the chimney. And I imagine as Joseph and Mary left the temple that morning, there was a mix of emotions of what God had told to us has now been revealed to the others. Not that we of in-laws sometimes look for I told you so moments around the holidays, but that the rest of the world knew what Mary and Joseph believed to be true of this joyous occasion. But fear and confusion as they were on the run of an angel had told to them, you need to leave and flee to Egypt. And here is a priest screaming at the top of the lungs of this is the child, the one that the world is waiting on. And all of Rome is searching for. And as they got back in the car and the doors shut, and mom and dad sighed that corrective. Not that parents of young children often do that when they get back in the car after church. I'm just saying. This is probably the first moment that Joseph and Mary understood that life would never be the same again. That when the shepherds and magi came to celebrate the birth, it was all part of the celebration and the Christmas story and the kickoff to a new journey, but it didn't change the way in which they interacted with the world. It was much like Christmas morning for them. Of it was a grand hoo-ha and celebration that could go back in the box and on the shelf, and a story they could tell Jesus when he grew old and his time had come, he could hear about as he grew into a young man of what it was like and how his true heavenly Father celebrated his birth. But now as they came into the temple, they realized that this changed everything. The simple routines and rhythms and expectations and requirements of them as a young Jewish family in antiquity could not just go through the rhythms of their day and their week and their lives and check the boxes and fly under the radar as they waited for Jesus to become a man and for God's plan to bubble up at some distant future across the horizon. But that God's plan and purpose was here and now and could not be denied or eluded. That wherever they brought Christ, that God was going to intervene and that the world was going to change. Probably like the first time that the young couple brings their child to the grocery store and they realize that it's more than just a diaper bag, but things are really different now. And you see the overly caffeinated and underslept parents dragging the child through the cereal aisle, realizing that the world is not going back to normal. Mary and Joseph learned that this was not something that just got added into their lives, but changed the trajectory of their world forever, and was an all-consuming fire that would require every fiber of their being at every waking moment until Christ on that sacred day would march up the mountain and would hang on that cross. And I fear that unlike Mary and Joseph, we try and celebrate the moment of the manger and the shepherds coming on that silent night of celebration, of grand jubilee, and elevate it to this wonderful moment in our year. And then today, when the tree comes down, the presents are unwrapped, the relatives are back on the highway to their homes, and Monday is on the horizon, that we put our holiday back in the box and the decorations are going to wait until Advent for next year, and we hope that tomorrow we go back to business as usual because we have things to do, tax season, is upon us, and where did I put that form? No, but seriously, if any of you know where I put that form or what forms I need for tax season, call me. And there are deadlines, and the boss needs me to submit these things before the end of the year, and there's that vacation that we've been putting off that's lingering, and how can we plan around the new variant, and how are we going to make these things happen and put these things in the box, and how are we going to continue the life as planned now that we have Christmas behind us? And we do everything within our power to act, walk, and talk in ways that makes Christmas something that doesn't consume every fiber of our being the other 51 or 50 weeks a year that we allot for other things. And if we force it, we're just waiting for the moment for when Christ comes back into our lives and smacks us across the forehead with a frying pan, metaphorically. We don't believe in that kind of gospel here. God will not hit you with an actual frying pan, just for the record. Nor will any of the pastors. Unless you stay up past curfew on a youth retreat, then the rules are different. But God intervenes into your lives and pulls you off course onto His and reminds you that life will never be the same because of what happened on Christmas Day. And somehow in the last 2,000 years, we've gotten that narrative twisted and backwards as to that's bad news. We complain and grieve and vent that the Christmas we know and celebrate doesn't mix with the lives that we want, that the things and gifts that we ask from Santa aren't what we are given from the Christ we know came on that silent night in Bethlehem. And we wrestle to try and reconcile the life the world holds as valuable of merit, of wealth and notoriety, and the call of Christ in Bethlehem, and somehow try and merge those things together and go amongst our day-to-day as normal. And church, as long as you try and hold both things in each hand and get pulled in each direction, the things that we sang about on Friday night in this room will not be a reality in your life. The candles that we lit around the wreath and celebrated in Advent and waiting for the coming of the Messiah of hope, joy, peace and love will not be realities in your life, no matter how many Pinterest posters you try and hang in your kitchen of Hallmark cliches we wrap around our day. We cannot have the promise of Christmas in our lives until we realize it does not fit back in the box in the attic, but requires us to celebrate it every day of the year. Now, I'm not asking us to be the rednecks in a Reba song that leave the Christmas lights up on the front porch all year long. Please don't be that kind of neighbor. Even though that's probably what I'm going to do because it took so long to put them up. But that we have to be willing for the Christ that came to change our lives and pull us off our beaten path on Monday if we want to celebrate what He came to do on Sunday. And we're going to have to accept the same realities that Mary and Joseph learned as they brought their baby boy out into the world for the first time. That the plans that they had to live a normal life as a young married couple, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with the world as their oyster, may not go exactly as they had hoped. It may not be the story that they were told would happen. It may not be the promise that they had envisioned, that they had to pick up and leave home and follow where God might ever call as they went from Bethlehem to Egypt, to Galilee, to Judea, to Nazareth. They were a traveling family circus as the angels came and pointed them into whatever direction that God may call, and all they could do was say, Christ, wherever you call, we may go, and believe that God would provide when they arrived, with no reassurance that what they needed would be there for them when they arrived. Because if history was anything to tell them, there would not be any room for them in the inn. And that they would have to make do and be creative and settle for room in the barn and makeshift a manger as a crib. And a life of luxury probably didn't coincide with the coming of the Lord in their household, which is something that we and our society and our culture and living in the bubble that we live, blessed as it may be, have to wrestle with every morning. And as today, as we go home and eat leftovers and take the lights off the tree and put the decorations back in the closet, we all have a question to answer of, will the Christmas that consumed our lives the last handful of weeks consume our lives as we enter into the new year? Or is it just our Sunday best that we bring out one season at a time, and we need to put it on hold because we have more important things to do tomorrow? Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning excited with anticipation of the promise of a new year around the corner. And why it comes with question, confusion, doubts, and concerns, we know one thing remains. That on that silent night in Bethlehem so many years ago, you sent your Son to walk and live among us, to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. And to take our sins and hang them on your cross, so that no matter what happens here in this life, that your promise remains true for today and forevermore. And that is why we come and do these things in this place, because your love never ends. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.